Kia ora and welcome back to the show. And now it's time for my favourite segment of the week. It is Pep's Picks with Martin Pepperell. Good morning, mate. How are you going?
Oh, mate, I'm all right. I'm okay.
Okay, good, good.
Okay.
What's been happening? Just writing away? You seem to always be writing.
Yeah, I'm always writing away, always doing things, working on projects, hey, you've been playing that new Unknown Mortal Orchestra single yet?
No, it's literally on my laptop in front of me right now. Do you recommend?
Yeah, man. Listeners, it's called I Killed Captain Cook.
Okay.
Ribbon from Unknown Mortal Orchestra has been on this, this voyage of cultural discovery over the last few years because his mother's Hawaiian.
Oh, right.
Yeah. His father's Maori and his mother's Hawaiian. And he's been on this sort of reconnecting of the whole Hawaiian side, and learning all the stories and getting the information. And there's a new album.
There's
a new album coming and it's going to be cool. It's going to be a moment.
Oh, I'm actually very excited to... I mean, the name of the song... you can't ignore that,
It's just beautiful. The music's beautiful. He never lets us down, ever since the Mint Chicks until now. Really, Ruben Nielsen, he's one of our great modern music superstars. Speaking of musical superstars of the past, present, and future.
Yes. Great segue.
Yeah. So today, we're looking at some music from a compilation album called Americana, which is a collection of singles, B-sides, and album cuts from the first two records of the black British dream pop shoegaze duo A.R. Kane, who actually were the band who coined the term dream pop.
I read that.
They came up with the term, in the wake of people like Cocteau Twins and This Mortal Coil. These guys, These guys, they met in East London, Nigerian guy, Moalian guy, they were both really involved in dub sound system culture in the UK, jazz funk, Aiuli, he worked as a copywriter, so he was plugged into the whole advertising agency world. Timbala, he met him at a party. These guys, they love black music, but they also, they loved American folk music and sort of indie rock of the era, stuff that they'd grown up listening to, people like Joni Mitchell, Velvet Underground, so they had this really diverse cultural engagement, the sort of thing that in the 80s you could only really get somewhere like London.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they had this whole thing going on, and they fucking made these records that just blew people's heads off, this psychedelica that just, really, found, its way in between, the gaps between, indie shoegaze, free jazz, even a bit of acid house. They had it all going on. They really were doing everything. And people loved them at the time and in the UK, their first record, 69 and 88, then I in 1989, there were songs that became cult classics, like A Love from Outer Space, Snow Joke, this whole riding the line between acid house and indie music and totally helping pioneer the whole dream pop and shoegaze space from this black British perspective, which resonated right through the UK and Europe and across to America, which a few years later, old mate David Byrne from Talking Heads, who was at the time running the Luaka Bop label, little record label he'd put together, releasing all this fucking music from around the world that blew him away. He's like, look, these guys are pretty good. Let's do a compilation. Call it Americana. Release it in America. That was in 1992. The Americana just got repressed recently, a few weeks ago, a bit of a repress, new vinyl and all of that for the first time in ages. came across my desk. I was listening to it again, and I was like, man, it's real good to, like, reflect on the fact that people were making this sort of music that long ago.
Yeah,
but also,
yeah.
What's really cool with this, too, is that in particular with, like, what we're listening to, I think I sent you a Love From Outer Space. Mm-hmm. What's cool about this compilation is, like, you can sort of feel them in real time, like, moving, like, through their influences, you know? So some of the early...
Yeah, like, yeah, interesting.
More, you know, of, a, like, jazz funk, like, boogie or acid house thing going on, you know, and they sort of slowly, like, descend into the psychedelica that... Shoegaze psychedelica dream pop that, you know, they've become a really defining force in. But they were always more than that. And, you know, most bands are more than the thing that they're known for on a commercial level or on a surface.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know, and it's sometimes it's like that whole thing, you know, sometimes like you love a band and they put a new record out and it's different. And maybe you don't like that it's different. But, you know, chances are if you knew the musicians better and knew who they actually were as people,
You'd understand probably, the direction.
Yeah, you'd have yeah. a different, you'd be a lot more at peace with it, you know. But yeah. When you don't really know, when it's just like you engage with the work but not the people, sometimes you're missing out on like all the human aspects in the background that led them to that place, you know. And then there's the repercussions. It's the whole classic thing. Like if you do something that's too seminal, like if you have too much of a massive impact of a certain sound, you know, you might find yourself running from it.
Yeah. Interesting thought. Yeah. I was watching an old clip the other day. This is gonna sound really absurd, but it was an old clip from the David Letterman show, and it was top 10 things Mick Jagger had learned. And number 7 or something was, no one wants to hear your new music. And I was like, oh, it's funny in that context, but it's a bit of a shame, you know?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, Mick Jagger definitely took that lesson to heart and to the bank.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, that, I mean, like, I don't agree with him, but, I mean, if you want to make a commercial enterprise, if you want to make a commercial enterprise, he's got a point, you know?
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Look, I mean, why do people fucking like McDonald's? It's the same every single time.
Yeah, it's reliable, I guess.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, you know, a lot of things, you know, people go to, like, reliability and continuity. It's a big thing in movie franchises, it's a big thing in food. Like, you see it when people do these sort of, periodically people write these series of novels or books that become big hits, you know?
Yeah,
these sort of fantasy things, it's like a consistency, you know? It doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest thing ever.
No,
but it's like you've got to think, okay, it's going to tick X, Y, and Z, and then every time you go and engage with it, it ticks X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
You know, sometimes that's enough, you know? It's not and the other thing is, extraordinary moments, you know. Extraordinary moments aren't a thing you can really seek out. Extraordinary moments are things that happen to you randomly. Just gonna segue. There's this psychological phenomena, they call it the overview effect. So what happened is when the astronauts started going into space, you know, they go up into space and they'd be orbiting around the Earth, and some of them would go out to the moon or whatever, and you know, not all of them, but some of the astronauts would look back and they'd just be shocked and horrified by the fragility of life. Just saying, oh, look, it's just the little blue planet.
Yeah.
You see your blackness and there's no other life anywhere, and you could see how thin the atmosphere is and how fragile the whole thing, you know. And some of the astronauts would have like this profound cognitive shift.
Yeah, right.
They'd change how they thought, you know, and they'd come back, you know, their whole life they'd wanted to get into space, you know, and then they get into space and they realize that actually, you know, life is like on the planet.
Yeah,
it's like a whole
thing.
It would be. And then what happened is, you know, this guy started interviewing astronauts, and Russian and American astronauts, Chinese, whatever. There was a certain percentage who had this experience.
Yeah. Wow.
He did like a fucking book about it, you know, kind of whole thing, research, the overview effect. But what that meant is like, once that idea is out there, people start, like, going into space with the intention of having an overview effect. You know,
yeah.
Now we're entering into the era of celebrity. Wealthy people can do space tourism now.
Oh, yeah. They just pay and go have a wee...
You know, it's like
absurd waste of money.
Jeff Bezos and that, you know. Jeff Bezos is... And the funny thing is, it's that I actually go into space. The Bezos thing, it's like a low orbital thing. So you feel like you're in space. You're not actually in space. But, you know, now people can do that. If you're a billionaire, you can pay to go and orbit around the Earth a few times.
Mm.
And, you know, some of these people, it's like the intention is to go and have this profound experience.
Well, you're probably not going to have it if you want to.
No,
you know?
Well, that's it. It's not happening, like, because, you know, it had to take you by surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I can...
It had to take you by surprise.
Hmm. No, I can totally, like, if you were not expecting that kind of realization, I can totally understand how you might get that as well. Scary thought.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, it's really interesting because I always think of dream pop as quite a recent music term, when really this song's a great example of the fact it's not.
No. 80s, bro. 80s. 4AD Records, you know. Like AR Kane, Cocteau Twins, like this Mortal Coil. A whole bunch, you know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that was, like, going on in that period of time. You know, like people like Julie Cruz. But, I mean, I guess it's one of these ideas which is just so great that every generation since then has wanted to recycle it, you know? Because you think about it, it's really appealing. Really, really.
Oh, extremely so, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Pop, but just, you know, a little bit weirder and a bit more transcendental and just dreamy. Are you awake, are you asleep? Like,
yeah,
and there's different ways you can skin it. You know, modern people like Grupa, where her dream pop's a bit more sort of like a noise or a drone dream pop, and then, you know, people who do it in a really polished way.
Well, that's the amazing thing about it, is you can approach dream pop so differently, but when you hear it, you're like, that's dream pop.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the gold standard for dream pop would probably really be for the music to have, like, the logic of a dream.
Mm.
Which is
right.
Why, like, if you listen to Cocteau Twins, you realise that none of the lyrics are in English, really. Or some of them are, but, like, they do, like, a lot of, like, sort of stuff in their own languages and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that kind of thing, like, where it's just kind of like it's blurring and you sort of understand it, but you kind of don't, like...
Totally. And I guess dreams, what's the word? Dreams, you know, aren't defined to a language at all.
No. The dream is, yeah, it's not like... Well, there's a lot of stuff like that. You know, you look at the things that cut across, you know, the common threads, you know, that travel across regardless of, like, what, like, your language, cultural background, context, or whatever it is, you know. Archetypes, you know, I think you'll find like there's certain types of dreams that everyone in the world has regardless.
Yeah.
Tapping into the collective subconscious, you know. And I mean, you know, musicians, not all, but, you know, for some types of musicians, that's always what it's been about, you know, trying to tap into, you know, what's going on and, you know, sort of catch the vibe.
And true, it's the Moby Dick. For musicians.
Oh, Moby Dick.
Well, Martin.
Great American classics, you know. Hey, look, this is all we've been going on for a bit too long, you know.
No, but I've loved it. I always love my chats with you. It's much appreciated. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
No, thank you for having me. And you have a fantastic rest of the week. And enjoy your weekend, everybody.
You too. That was Martin Pepperell. Always got some great chats with him. I just feel like I've just had a massive doobie in a deep and meaningful when he comes on the show. Very special talent he's got. Anyway, here is his song of the day, A Love from Outer Space by A.R. Kane.